Please, Lord, make use of us gathered here. Use our talents and our strengths to help our neighbours wherever we go. And Father, we ask you to inspire the leaders and people in positions of power to listen to our plight for resources, for funding, for housing that is affordable and dignified. Help us to bring our hope and enthusiasm to this cause, that we may see people through your eyes in compassion and love. And bless every person in need at this time, especially those suffering because of the cost of living crisis and those who are struggling to get up in the morning. Enable us to bring your hope and your light to their lives so that we may rebuild their lives and heal their hearts. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Now, I don't know how many of you have got any experience of people who are homeless. I don't know whether you may have encountered someone on the street to help them, or you might have helped them with a housing fund, or an application. I know Leanne's work is a lot to do with this. And some people just are pretty scared and back off of this because they think it's such an overwhelming thing, like war, that how can we make any impact? But yet we can. The night before, I slept with a whole group of young people in a different place. So I slept in a church, they slept in a hall. And it was actually a celebration of 140 years of Boys Brigade. But we were displaced. But we had a roof. We had running water. We had a toilet. And it made me really think as I was going off to sleep how much God can provide. But we do have a part to play in that. And how thankful I was actually to have a home. I think all of us are thankful for our homes. And I wondered if any of us knew about the day centre that exists at the moment, which will become a night shelter from roughly the end of October, I think, round till March. Charlie and I used to go and cook there. We used to do breakfast. I'm not as involved now, but I plan to be on this session. It's an opportunity. And it's quite an interesting one because you think you're going to serve them. And you come away blessed. You've been served. You've had an insight into someone else's world and however difficult that is. But I've got to say, I've never met a really miserable person who's homeless in that place. Because there's hope. There's always hope that they're going to see something at some point, which will be a home. And I'd recommend, if you're interested, to even just pop into the day centre, which runs when the night shelter finishes, the day centre starts, and it's open on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. So if you think about every other day, midweek, from 9 till 1. And in there, it's an amazing place. There is access to showers, laundry facilities, hot food, coaching to become employed, casework, advocacy, and on, they even grow their own vegetables. So if you go there to cook, very often you'll have tomatoes that they've managed to cook and all sorts of things, arts and crafts and day trips. But they do have a sleep out, and in case I forget to tell you, you might like to get involved. I'm going to go along so you'll know one person, Friday the 1st of December in Avery Hill. And it will have a wonderful time of fellowship around the campfire. Many people there are Christian, some aren't. But it will be a time of fellowship followed by a night under the stars. And that will raise awareness and raise funds. Let's just have a look at what Christ says and what the Bible says about homelessness. Well, it certainly acknowledges the fact that there are many people who are homeless for no reason. There are nomadic people. I met some when I was away, some Bedouins, and their lifestyle is to pick up sticks, literally, some cloth, and get going and find the next place where there's water and somewhere they can be comfortable. But when you're homeless and you don't want to be, just think for a moment how awful that must be. Maybe you can't afford your rent. And maybe we're going through this phase in the UK where people who own properties now can't afford their mortgages, so they have to sell them. Therefore, many people are homeless. They won't have a place to live. Jesus could identify with it because he was an itinerant minister. For much of the time, he would enjoy other people's hospitality, like Mary and Martha, but much of the time he'd have spent under the stars. And it is a different environment. It's warmer. Maybe that makes it easier. But he knew what homelessness was, and he knew there would be nowhere to lay his head, really, for very long. And in Matthew 8:20, Jesus states that even animals have to have a place to call home. But he had nowhere to lay his head. He stayed wherever he was welcome, and that's important to remember. We have the opportunity, if we've got accommodation, to be able to welcome people into our homes. I've welcomed people that have been homeless for meals, but that's even something we can do without even offering a bed at night. But we can offer hospitality. And he was born in a stable. So he even spent his last night before his crucifixion as well, outside in a garden. And the Apostle Paul was also at times in a homeless situation. In 1 Corinthians 4:11, Paul describes something. He continues to describe daily reality for the apostles who serve Christ. He said that they had to minister to others, even when they didn't have a fixed abode. And he contrasted the relatively wealthy and respected position that the Corinthians had. And he contrasted that with many lives that didn't hold that position, didn't have that access to money, food and housing. Little to show in earthly terms. But those that I know that are homeless, who've got very few possessions, treasure the little they have, which also says something to me about how much I've got. And how much I could use for the benefit of others. It challenges me. The law in Leviticus was very clear about how that should be for the homeless, how it should be, how we who have something share with those that don't. And it says, if any of your kin fall into difficulty and become dependent on you, you shall support them. They shall live with you, as though they were even resident aliens. Don't make a profit from them, but fear your God. Let them live with you. God commands his people to help support those who have no home and cannot support themselves. And it says, if any of your fellow Israelites become poor and can't help themselves and are unable to do that, help them as you would a foreigner and a stranger, so that they continue to live with you. He's not asking us to push them away. He's saying help to find a solution. When Charlie died, I was so blessed by people that helped me. So I know what that feels like. I know. And it makes me even more want to help those that have got less. Also in Deuteronomy, it said, if anyone is poor among the fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted. Do not be tight-fisted. Tight-fisted. You can't open up your hand enough to give them anything. We may know people like this. It's good to pray for them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them wherever, whenever they need. And the Lord actually rebuked those who kept the outward form of religion, wanted to look good, but didn't care for the poor. In Isaiah it says, is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, the burden of debt, the weight of no home, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. This is saying we are one people, we are one family. And the Book of Wisdom, which is Proverbs, I love Proverbs, lays down the principle of giving to the poor, but attaches it to a blessing. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. And those who refuse to help the poor will be on the losing end. Again in Proverbs 28:27. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. That's pretty frightening, to be cursed by God. And in the New Testament, Jesus and his disciples gave regularly to the poor. If they had two tunics, they were told they must give one away. They shared the common purse between them. Nobody had the right to have more than anyone else. And even Judas was spoken about in Scripture in this way, John 13:29. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. But Jesus commands that we follow his example and also care for the poor. Judas may have had the purse strings, but he was commanded by Christ to use that money for the good of the people. On the Sermon on the Mount, at times where the disciples were really cheesed off with the people that were following them that were so needy, he would command his disciples to care for them and probably use the money in the purse. And of course, Judas, unfortunately, got the love of money, which is a very hard thing when we get the love of money. Matthew 5:42 says, give to the one who asks you, do not turn away anyone from the one who wants to borrow from you. And James, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If any one of them says to you, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? So the Bible does not shy from the difficult and unpleasant reality that some people have experienced terrible setbacks and hardships in their lives. Maybe some of us here have gone through hardships, maybe when we were younger as children, even to the point of becoming destitute. But the Bible does recognise that poverty and social injustice and homelessness will always be with us. We will always have the poor. In Mark 14:7, it says, the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me. He needed to remind us that we have got to go on giving and caring as he would. And maybe as Christians, we can make a difference. Maybe we can line up with groups and societies. We can do things at a distance, and that's great too, and prayer is wonderful. But if we can, in some way, in a physical aspect, help those that need more, let's challenge ourselves about that. It is a challenge. We've got to share. We're not good at sharing. We're not wired to share. We like our possessions. And finally, as we close, I'm just going to remind us of a couple more verses. In Luke 14:13-14, our Lord said, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. We can't do things just for the sake of getting something else from Christ, but the heart of it here is we will be repaid. And our final verse is from Mark 45. We should show generosity, compassion, kindness and mercy in practical, tangible ways. Even our Lord Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. So we could think about what it's like to be in poverty. And we're in a borough that's rich with opportunity to get linked in. We've got the day shelter, we've got the night shelter, we've got food bank, we've got street pastors, we've got Christians Against Poverty. And we've even got events like Crisis at Christmas in London. It may not be our calling, and maybe to pray is our calling, but remember that Christ came to serve with a heart for the poor, and he freely gave to those he met along the way. We're going to watch a video. It's a sort of rap, I think, if it's lined up to go. And I think this might cut to the crunch a bit more about homelessness. Okay, Jerry.
Discarded shoes create an avalanche. You can't see the wood for the roots round here. Grandsons and cousins fall into home, the place where you live permanently. The carpet curdles at the edges, steeped in time. Absent-mindedly put down a mug of tea on a table that is always where I need it to be. Outside the window tap of trees that have been there since before the house was built, before we settled and became home. What does it take to become less? As a member of a family, even the armchairs sigh. Back door opens into a brisk hello, as discarded shoes create an avalanche. You can't see the wood for the roots round here. Grandsons and cousins fall into each other, spring green and fearless, as aunties turn into autumn. How lucky we are to grow together. Whether the family you are born into or the ones you discover along the way, family is just a pause after a long walk home. What does it take to become less? Someone's place of origin. I grew up round here. My first kiss was beneath flickering streetlights. The night was long and lingering, but I wouldn't go home until I tried. I lied. I hadn't done it all before. Just the memory makes you smile. No one stops round here, no one talks, but the past has always got time to talk of home. What does it take to become less? Somewhere you belong. I grew up round here. Like picking up the phone to an old friend, a bit distant, a bit on edge now, but still close. It comes back to me in moments when I think of home. What does it take to become less? Homeless, without a home. Cardboard walls fall into each other against the bursting breeze. In between the gaps, fingerless gloves curdle into themselves, and time by as slowly as yesterday. Without belonging, without shelter, without home, without permanence, just humans looking for home.
Homeless. There's a very, very big gap, isn't there? It would be great for us to have some time actually to pray for each other's needs, but within that group, when we form a couple of groups in a minute, would it be possible for us to bring in a prayer about homelessness and our knowledge of it and what we could possibly pray for? Some will have some ideas, some will listen. But let's just bring it in to this bit of prayer time, at least. And then if we want to take any action on it, social action it's called, but it's God's action, I'm sure a couple of us can help if you want to do anything more or get more involved in any way. I'm sure Leanne can, I know I can, probably others here will have some knowledge about it. What I would say to you is when we gather together, some people may not hear very well. This hall's very echoey, so keep the voice level fairly high because it's very hard. I know Charlie used to struggle if someone put their head down and was praying quietly. nobody else can hear. So let's have a bit of time of prayer. However we want to do it, I'm not going to go around going 1, 2, but let's have two groups of about 7. I think that would be about right. Steve, would you like to take, and Susan, would you like to take another group? That would be great. Let's have about 10 minutes with each other, praying for our needs as well, because that's important.